Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and the shake to my bake, a Mr. Brian E. Roach, is right here with me. We are up late to bring you some special 2019 NFL draft coverage, but first, I must ask, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
You're not originally from Jersey. You can't pull it off. You live in Jersey now, but I don't think that, like, you know, you're like one of the Brits that come over and they just never lose the accent. They don't become Americanized. You don't have, like, the Jersey Shore thing going there, but you tried. I give you an A for effort. High five, buddy.
Thanks. I really don't want any of it, by the way. I don't want the Jersey accent.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. They say there's a Pittsburgh accent, and, you know, even my hometown, Youngstown, Ohio, they say there's an accent there, but I think it's more derived, you know, like a watered-down Pittsburgh. I do understand when people say they don't wash their jersey, as we saw on that tweet earlier, where there's like four people in the AFC North, and Steelers guy doesn't have his jersey, and then somebody else, of course, jumped in and said, well, he didn't wash it, or it's in the wash. And I'm like, you know, somebody else was like, they don't, Steelers fans don't wash their jerseys because it's bad luck, superstitions. And I'm just like, oh, that's crazy. So we say all kinds of crazy stuff. We're going to say even more crazier stuff because we're up late. NFL draft seems like it lasts forever on day one. I wish they would start the darn thing like an hour earlier, but hey, man, some excitement, some fireworks earlier. So if I'm giving you a high five for the effort on the Jersey accent, I'm definitely, I think we're giving each other high fives on this pick. Didn't think it would happen, but it happened, and I'm happy.
Yeah, I think everybody was fairly well stunned, even though there had been rumors that, you know, somebody was looking to move, Adam Schefter or whoever had been, they'd been talking all day. The Steelers are in conversation, but the Steelers are always in conversation because they do their due diligence. And the last time they moved was 2003. And so nobody really thought, but hey, you know, they found the right fit. It was a move they were willing to make, and we got what we wanted.
We got a Devin. I didn't think a Devin would be there. Actually, you know what? I thought they had moved up for Santonio as well, not only for Troy. So don't
quote me. They did, but it was a very minor move up.
Yeah.
They haven't picked a top 10 pick in, 2000. In forever.
2000. It was Plaxico Burress. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was – no, I don't think – was he eight?
Yes.
Yeah, he might have been eight.
Yes, he was eight overall.
And that's the last time. It's been forever since they were in – drafting anybody this high. So, you know, I mean, Ben was what, 11 or 12. So,
yeah, well, that doesn't happen often when you're not losing games and tanking. Like the Dolphins apparently look like they're already set to pick one first overall next year. You know, the Cardinals with the bad year and, you know, shocking. I don't know that it was much of a surprise, but I was just like, okay, come on, get on with this. Do you really need to go down to 30 seconds for the suspense? Do you know that you don't? I mean, you take all this time to this point. It's a pet peeve of mine. Well, other teams have to prepare based on what everyone else is doing. I remember a much simpler time. Was it like the Andrew Luck draft maybe? Or maybe it was one of these other ones. I don't think it was one with Clowney because I think the Texans were still looking to maybe move out of that spot, number one overall, several years ago. But I want to say it was maybe the Andrew Luck draft where the first three picks were already like figured out. They were already sewn up or something like that. It was one of those one of those drafts. And sometimes
there was no mystery. Yeah.
There was no mystery. Sometimes you already knew who the number one was. Sometimes the teams in those first spots are jockeying for position. The Cardinals, they didn't appear to be a team that was going to trade out of it. And you're going down to like the last 30 seconds on the clock for, is this like a TV thing to sell more ad space and make sure you keep everyone up until midnight, you know, on the East Coast? This kind of dumb, if you ask me. And it was just, that was irritating, but didn't have to wait all night. The thing that kind of sucked was we had to wait around all night in order to do this show because the Steelers jumped up to number 10, if you hadn't heard already, making a trade trade with the Denver Broncos. And some people were saying that it was a little rich. I'm going to get your opinion on this in a second. But there was the famous – remember, we mentioned this many, 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 many times before. And I know you and Zach debated what it would take to move up in the draft. And we were all saying that they would probably have to move up. And, in fact, they pulled kind of a power move on an AFC North foe in the Bengals and got one spot ahead of them. They, you know, they know what the other teams are looking for. They're, we were just reading or talking about this Sports Illustrated article about, like, you know, the under whatever, almost an underground, I guess an underground, just kind of like us, of the NFL draft, like the black market, so to speak, of the information and knowing what other teams have on their boards and everything like that. So they jump in front of the Bengals, and just to say this real quick, so the Jimmy Johnson value chart that a lot of people use to determine what the value of all these picks are and if it's a fair trade or equitable trade, so the Denver Broncos pick at 10 overall was valued at 1,300 points, whatever it is. I don't know, schleckles, whatever, you know, and rupees, whatever it might be. So 1,300 is the value on this at pick 10. The Steelers pick at 20 was valued at 850. And then what they gave away was their second round pick at 52 overall, valued at 380. Now those two alone are not enough. You get to 1230, and the Broncos are thinking to themselves, "We sweeten this deal a little more." Well, they gave away a third round pick next year. We don't know what the value will be, but the Steelers are basically the last team that didn't make the playoffs as far as their draft position. There are 12 other teams behind them. Those are all the teams that got into the postseason, six in each conference. So if you look at the just purely at what pick 83 is worth right now, and you would say you got to think maybe it goes down, the value goes down a little more. Pick 83 this year, and it's always like this, pick 83 would be 175. If they ended up picking it like 85 or something like that, then it drops down a few points. But I digress. 175 for pick 83, you add that together, you get 1405. So the Broncos make out just a little bit with this, a little bit of extra incentive with that pick, but maybe that pick is worth a little less next year. Maybe it's worth, I don't know, 50, you know, whatever, points less, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's the same kind of trade. So some people are saying John Elway, the GM for the Broncos, got finessed. He got worked. The Steelers got a steal. Other people are saying the Steelers, they spent too much, and I'm looking at this like, well, this seems pretty fair to get a guy who we're going to talk about in a few seconds. We're just going to talk about the trade right now. But for a playmaker, to be able to get him, they had to make a move regardless.
They had to make a move. Look, Tommy Jaggi the other day put a tweet out that basically had a poll on it that said, would you give up your first and your second for a Devin? And I said I wouldn't. I said I wouldn't do it. I think it's too much to give up. I don't like that deal. So in some ways, I'm kind of eating my words. But I'm hesitant to say it's too much until I know what they do tomorrow. If they stand pat and the first pick they have is in the third round, even though it's high in the third round, and they don't get a player that they might have been able to get, you know, where they would have picked at 52, I may think differently, but I may not. I mean, value-wise, it's completely fair, and we knew we were going to have to do that if they're going to move up this much. It's an aggressive move. They believe this is the guy that they're missing, and if that's what they believe, then it's the right move regardless, because if that's what they think it's going to take in the middle of their defense to make that defense a better defense, a more competitive defense, then you know what, who am I to argue with that? I don't debate the player himself. I'm hemming and hawing on the cost. But that's because I'm a cheap bastard and I wanted it cheap. And it wasn't going to be cheap.
No,
so
I get
you. I'm hemming and hawing on the cost. But realistically, it's a good deal for both sides. The Broncos got a little bit more than the value of their pick, but not much. And depending on how the Steelers turn out, hey, look, if they win the Super Bowl, that's the 32nd pick in the third round. It ain't that, you know, now maybe they don't make out quite as well. But we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, Colbert did say that. He said, somebody asked him at a press conference, he said, do you think it's worth it? And he goes, if we win a Super Bowl, it's worth it. If we don't, maybe it isn't.
Well, I mean, here's what you're looking at. Some people believe maybe the second, what, somebody's on record, or no, they're on the record, off the record. It's one of these anonymous sources where they're saying maybe the second best athlete, Devin Bush, out of, you know, that university up north. Oh, I'm sorry. There's probably some Michigan fans in here. I still had to throw it in there. He's a Steeler now, so that's all that matters. Right, Brian? Right. We could look by past that, I think. So
I don't even know where he went to college. I don't care about college anymore. It's black and
that's
gold.
Right. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He's no longer affiliated. He was already in the NFL process for many months now. So you can't go back once you declare, apparently. So darn the NCAA and all their rules. I told you it was going to be a little goofy here on this one, folks. But, you know, lots of surprises. I don't know. Tons of surprises. Lots of trades, man. I mean, there's all kinds of moving and shaking going on. I mean, the Steelers made the first big move. So, obviously, when I did my mock draft, I'd used like the fan speak simulator, and I put some conditions in. So both the Devons were gone on mine. The top three corners were gone on mine, and I had gone with a TJ Hawkinson. I just went on the offense because I didn't like any of my options on defense at that point. But then it did like some goofy things too, like where I was able to get Darnell Savage in like the third round, which I'm like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen, but it'll look good on paper. I'm like, bump everything up around. And we talked about some other guys like Chase Winovich is still out there, but now the Steelers don't have a second round pick. And you got to think, though, they still have not nine picks now, but they have eight picks because they got rid of round two.
Yeah.
They still have a lot of picks. So I don't know if they could package like a three and try and move them back up into the second somewhere, somehow. What you're going to end up seeing here is, so they got rid of 52. They don't pick again until see, I could sing too, or I could at least do like 66. Some show tunes. 66, yeah, 66, and
get
then
your it, kicks, and get then, your kicks on Route 66, baby.
Yeah, and then 83. So I don't even know that he could get back up to where they initially were, or if they want to move from 66. But 66 isn't. That's the second pick of the third round, folks, and that's what they got from the Antonio Brown trade. So they're looking at that pick and thinking to themselves, there's still like a round two, late round two value as an early third round pick there, as opposed to that pick 83, which is, you know, more towards the middle of the pack or so. And there may be some very solid players left at that point, but in order to get to 66,
oh,
we got to go
be, absolutely. Yeah,
33 to 66. So you got to go 33 spots or so, if I'm doing the maths right. But there's still a lot of players out there, and we didn't see very many corners go today. So just talking about the, you know, picking or choosing a linebacker here as opposed to just moving up. I'm okay with moving up. I'm okay with who Devin Bush is, and where he's an exceptional player. Maybe has potential to be more than that, but just looking at it right now, there isn't like a corner. Even if I was sitting at 20, you know, the Denver Broncos ended up taking Noah Fant, tight end. Eh, maybe. Okay. A lot of people had Greedy Williams from LSU still, you know, mocked to the Steelers. I know you've mocked both at some point. I know, yep. I was cool with that. I said, you know, somebody asked me earlier today, and they said, hey, who do you have the Steelers taking? I said, well, my mock had Hawkinson, but I don't think he's going to be there. And I think either the Devons, Devin White or Devin Bush, they got to move up in order to do it. Man, I feel like the amazing Karnak now, having said that. You know, not often am I right, but in this case I was. And then I was also talking about some of the corners. And I said, depending on the corners that are there, I may even be cool with just going on offense and waiting around. Well, lo and behold, Byron Murphy, Greedy Williams, they're still out there. One cornerback taken in the entire first round here, DeAndre Baker,
yeah.
Not Rakia Sin. Sorry, everybody who decided to change your mock drafts the last second based on whatever little, you know, little bit of information that may have leaked out. Smoke screen alert. Rock may even still be there in the third round, to be completely honest. So if the Steelers really love him, oh, okay. If they get him in the third round, I won't hate the pick. Trust me.
No.
That's a lot different. That's almost like us talking about Mason Rudolph last year, where you take him in the first, I would have hated it. If you take Rock into first here, I would have hated it. Get him into third? Okay, that's a different story. So, I don't know, Brian, who else is standing out to us? We were hoping Chase Winovich probably falls somewhere in there. I really don't know where the Steelers go here because, I mean, they can go in so many different directions. I think they nailed the biggest need, and we're going to talk how Devin fits and maybe sways them from even having to go, like, safety or anything like that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Look, tomorrow, this is what I anticipate. I anticipate them trying to take that late, early third-round pick and convert it into a second-round pick by packaging up maybe a fifth, maybe one of the sixths, and move back into the second round to get somebody who has fallen a little further than they think. It's all going to be about what their value is. And we heard from a lot of different people that the Steelers did not think that there was a corner with a first-round grade in this draft that was worthy of 20. But there clearly are corners that they like. We talked about how Tomlin and Colbert show up in Greedy's hype tape or whatever it is, and how they were all over him down at LSU's pro day. So there's guys they like. I don't think there is reason to think that they're done. I think that they still have the ammunition to move up again. They have the ammunition to try and do something. And if they do, if they can get out of tomorrow with a nice second round pick and still keep their third round pick, because Colbert was clear they wanted two picks tomorrow, then I think that they will have done a masterful job here. The haters and the naysayers will have to, continue to eat their hats, so to speak. As far as where they go, man, it's so tough at this point because, there's a lot of guys left. They're offensive linemen that both Zach and I thought would definitely go in the first round, like Cody Ford. There's guys like DK Metcalf who are still around.
Oh, wait, hold on right there. Hold on right there. Yeah. There was a time and a place. Remember you said sprint to the podium for DK Metcalf? And the guy, he's still there, man. This reminds me of like the Miles Jack thing. Proceed.
Yes. And if I could convince him to trade up, I'd still go get him. But I understand the concerns that he's a one-trick pony. And all of that stuff. I mean, but there's a lot of value players still around, and there will be value players when they pick at 66 if they stay there. But I think that there's a good chance they move up. Now, I know some folks have them drafting a running back in the second round. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's absurd. Of course, that means they'll probably do it and we'll all look silly. But I just can't imagine that they're going to do that.
No, they don't need to replace James Conner. That's just silly. No. And Jalen Samuels is, they just need somebody, even if they miss out on someone in the later rounds and just grab a veteran, they just need someone that's capable if Conner gets dinged up or whatever to share the load. Because I don't know that Samuels is definitely a full-time running back. He flashed. He definitely showed us that he can do some stuff. But he's a different type of weapon, a different type of player.
Yeah, absolutely. It won't surprise me to see them hit a wide receiver if that's what happens. Hit an edge guy if that's what happens. You remember, I think we had a podcast where we said, could they double dip on that team up north? It could happen now. It could still happen at this point where at some point in the second round, if Chase falls, if Winovich falls a little bit further and doesn't get snapped up early enough, they could make a move for Chase Winovich if they liked him enough. It really depends on, what happens at the beginning of the round. Did DeAndre Baker going at the end of the first round start what will be a cornerback run? If that's the case, cornerbacks probably not going to be there for them. That might move them somewhere else. I think the only tight end that might be in conversation is Irv Smith at that spot. But, we'll just have to see. If I had to go with my gut, it'll be another defensive player, either a corner or an edge guy, maybe a safety like Juan Thornhill if he's still around.
Ooh, I'm glad you segued into safeties because, I don't get too excited maybe about like Irv Smith or I like the guy that's from Texas A&M, what, Jay Sternberger?
Steenberger.
Steenberger. Yeah, Sternberger. Yeah, I screw his name up. I think of Mary Steenburgen or whatever. It was married to Ted Danson. it just always messes with my head. But there's guys in play for sure here. They're definitely not going to go looking at Drew Locke. I don't think missing, getting rid of the second round pick and having to move up, they're going to go offensive line, though you never know. It could be surprising. And I remember the professor really giving us the hard sell on Ford there, even at 20, saying, hey, you add him to that offensive line, Just look at the interior, look at that. That would just be just sick if you were able to add him to the Steelers offensive line. But I don't think it's necessary. I keep telling people that I'm not exactly up for tackles at this point either. I mean, they've blown picks on Chucks and then on Gerald Hawkins over the previous years, and Matt Filer started in that spot. That's the reason why they were able to trade away Marcus Gilbert. I mean, Gilbert was banged up and he had only had a year left on his contract, but that's the kind of, what do you want to say, the depth that they have. And I don't know that they need to go too deep with that or go that early where there's other needs. Now, we mentioned tight end right now. We mentioned a running back's probably in play at some point. We originally had safety kind of earmarked here, and this is where the Devin Bush pick really plays in. So the Steelers signed this gentleman by the name of Mark Barron. You may remember he was with the Rams. He's a player that can play safety and linebacker. He's a hybrid. They still have another guy that's kind of hybrid in Marcus Allen that's on the roster. I called my shot maybe a month or so ago saying they'll probably extend Sean Davis. There's really no report or source. That is just me going with my gut on how this team likes to operate, and seeing as he's in a contract here. They like to do these things, during camp and before the season starts. Once the season starts, all bets are off. Davis has been an Iron Man. He doesn't miss any snaps. Okay, yeah, he's not flashy. All right, he has you forget. You can't even remember any interceptions that Sean Davis has really had in a game. But he's had them here or there. That tends to be the Steelers secondary, period. What, 8 interceptions last year to total? But he doesn't have that standout play like Joe Hayden picking off Tom Brady. That hasn't happened, but it might. You just never know. And I think finally not moving him around with different positions every year, I think that's going to allow him that's going to be good for him. Also, Terrell Edmonds, no longer a rookie. He wasn't expected to start, but Morgan Burnett got hurt. Morgan Burnett's off the team. That had me thinking safety. And now that I look at the linebacker group here, I also thought they could forego linebacker, but I was trying, you're trying to think what's most important here. What is the priority for the Steelers? What do they most need? And I thought if they ended up going with a safety, let's say Darnell Savage, who ended up going tonight, and I have to look and see who it was to again. I was like, aw, he went to the Packers. That's right. So
yeah, Packers.
I was thinking a player like that. Well, I was thinking then, well, they have Barron. They still have Bostic. You have Vince Williams. You have Tyler Matakevich. You're pretty deep there. Now I'm starting to think, okay, you have Bush. And if he could start and he's with Williams and he's fast and he can go side to side and all over, he's good against the run. He's good against the pass. He could be a major playmaker. This is what they've been missing since Ryan Shazier got hurt. Now I'm thinking Barron easily can be in a position where what they wanted from Morgan Burnett. And he has the experience of having played in the dual positions, being linebacker and a safety, where now you don't have to worry about a safety. They have some depth here. They have options with guys that could play linebacker, and they play with an awful lot of defensive backs. And now this also affords you to get Vince Williams off the field on third downs, because this has been the real problem with the Steelers' defense. They're leading the league in sacks. They might not be getting the turnovers, so they need some splash plays here and there. But splash plays, you can't bank on that. You know what I mean? It's going to happen if you're just playing defense. The problem is they can't play defense sometimes. They don't get off the field on third downs. That's what Devin Bush is here for, and he allows the Steelers to slide some of these chess pieces around. And now that, the front seven or whatever it might look like when you pull different guys off the field and have more DBs, it's starting to look pretty scary, because not scary in a bad way, but like in a very good way, where it's going to, you know, it should intimidate and frighten opponents. You add Steven Nelson as one of the corners opposite Joe Haden. If he's rock solid over there and you got Davis and Edmonds, I mean, this is starting to look like we've got your guys. I know you can't wait to see Cam Hayward's name, Stephon Tuitt. I still think this could help Bud Dupree some, TJ Watt. We still don't know what else they're going to add here in the draft. I think Devin Bush, this might be the missing component, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, from the standpoint of the player, I'm thrilled. Like I said, for me, this was one of the two guys that fit. You know, there were two inside linebackers that fit, both named Devin. And they got one of them when nobody thought, that they really were going to. So they made that aggressive move. They did what they had to do. If you had said to anybody that coming into the day one, by the end of day two, that they could have walked away with Bush on day one and Greedy Williams on day two, everybody would have said no, but that's a realistic possibility at this point.
Wow.
If you'd have said, Chase and Bush, people would have said, no, it's never going to happen. But it's a realistic possibility. It all depends on what they can pull off and whether they have a little more magic in their hats to try and move around tomorrow and how the board falls. But I think that the best thing that we can say is they're going to come out of this first 2 days with the defensive playmakers that they needed to get, at least one of them, and they have the opportunity to get one or two more if that's the route they choose to go. And there will still be potential guys that can help them on day four or on day three in round four.
Day four.
Day four.
I know.
Go back to the 70s draft. It was like 12 rounds.
I think it was more like 22 rounds or something like that. I remember that. I got to ask Tunch Ilkin that a couple of years ago during one of these draft party things. We're sitting there waiting for the pick, and I asked, he mentioned something about Merrill Hodge, and I said, I don't know, maybe Merrill came out with a book or something of that nature. And, of course, we had Tunch on when he released his book last fall. And I remember asking him, I said, do you remember what round Merrill Hodge was drafted in? Now I have to look it up because I honestly forgot, but I wanted to say it was like round 12. So even going into the 80s, that was a thing, man. And just, could you imagine? We would still be waiting to record.
Oh, my God.
It takes forever. In fact, I got it here. Merrill Hodge, it was round 10. So it's still more than the seven rounds you have now. And, of course, there was a few less teams, but geez, man, I can't imagine that. That would take forever. But yeah, the defensive playmakers for sure. And one other thing with Devin Bush too is spoken highly of by Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert for his leadership abilities too. So this is a guy that, I guess the defense, there's a story out there already that's leaked saying, one of the Michigan's defensive coordinators wanted to chew out the defense. They were getting their butts kicked or whatever. Devin stopped him about halfway, full head of steam down the sideline, said, let me get him. And then he proceeded to do that. That may be something this locker room needs. It's not probably going to work as maybe a rookie, but he starts to work his way in there and earns the respect to some guys in that locker room, like a Cam Hayward. And look out, man. I mean, I got some real high hopes for this pick. And of course, what are we going to have? Terrible hopes for the pick, unless we're somebody like the Houston Texans. So,
I don't understand certain things, but okay.
You mentioned, I'm sorry, just real quick, you did mention, though, having the two picks on Friday thing was big for Kevin Colbert, and they said that the Antonio Brown deal was the reason that it made it possible for them to be able to jump ahead and get this pick. And I also wanted to just point out to everyone who might be freaking out losing a third-round pick the following year, no, they will more than likely get a third-round compensatory pick by having Le'Veon Bell sign as a free agent. They don't have a comparable free agent signing to that that would offset. So Bell goes to the Jets. Next year, they'll probably have 2 third-round picks, but that's a probably. They don't have it yet. So whatever their third-round pick is supposed to be, that's the one that's going to Denver. You can't, unless there's some conditional thing that ends up being drawn into that. That's the way we have to assume that right now. But it's pretty safe to say that they will have some type of conditional third-round pick in considering how high Bell's contract and everything is, should be a high one, if not one of the highest.
Yeah, I think that they're fine. That was a really smart move because they can anticipate getting that pick, but they can't trade it yet because they don't have it.
And you could only start trading them this year, I believe, too, is the first year.
Yeah.
So
it might be the second. I thought you could do it last year, too, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I know. It's late and I'm getting old.
Yeah. The other thing I just want to say about Bush is, and Zach has been saying this all along, is this is an alpha. You know, Devin Bush is an alpha dog. He is going to go, and at some point he's going to be one of the main leaders in that locker room on defense. Don't be surprised if it starts to take root in his rookie season. We'll have to wait and see, you know, because it is, we all are aware, it's a big transition from college to the pros. And, you know, we'll have to see how he adjusts. But if he gets it, if the game slows down for him, watch out. This guy is going to be, you know, I hate making this comparison because he's a much more athletic guy. He's a much, much more, he's much faster. He's got a lot more skills. But this is a guy who could be a James Ferrier type leader, the guy who essentially controls that defense. That's how his personality could play out. So that's an exciting thing. He's way more athletic than James Ferrier was. And that's no disrespect to James Ferrier, because he's one of my favorite linebackers that we've ever had. He was great, but he had, you know, it's like, you're like combining James Ferrier and Ryan Shazier to a certain extent.
And then somebody was also saying, what if, and by any means, I'm not suggesting this will happen, but what if Shazier actually were to come back and play football and be anything like he was? I mean, this has potential to be, you talk about shake and bake. That was an intentional lead into the show, by the way.
Yep.
That could be killer, but you can't have a shake and bake without Shazier and Vince Williams. I think that'd be unfair. Maybe shake and bake, or does it go the other way around? Shake and then bake and bake. I don't know.
Shake your booty.
Steak and shake.
I don't know. Is that Casey and the Sunshine Band? Something like that.
I don't know. I'm not that old.
You were around in the 70s.
I was not thought of. I was not even a twinkle in my parents' eyes back in the 70s. So.
Oh man.
So just looking at some of the other moves here, we talked about some of the players that are available, maybe some of the positions. We probably glossed over something being half awake, but. Basically, I think cornerback is still something they need for depth. Obviously, they need to grab a tight end. Running back sometime later. Wide receiver wouldn't hurt. So I think all of their options are pretty much available. And, of course, it wouldn't hurt to get some edge guys, too, because, I mean, Bud is in his last year. Chickalo was what? Signed a 2-year deal. He's a backup. And then you got Ola, who, you know, didn't really play last year. And we don't know. Maybe they really like Ola. They see some things in practice. They feel comfortable with what they have. But as far as it being starters, I think that's the weakest link, because if you were to have something happen to TJ or Bud, that's not going to be a good thing, regardless of adding Devin Bush or not. So keep an eye on that. It's something to monitor. Another thing we were looking at, too, it kind of, you know, threw us off guard, because the Steelers, we talked about the AFC North. The Browns didn't have a pick because they went and traded it to get Odell Beckham Jr. So you had the Ravens trade back, and the Bengals, they stood their ground. They got an offensive tackle. You finally praised them and said that's what they should have done. So
I'm still shocked. I don't even know how to handle this crazy world where the Bengals don't do something stupid.
Well, you offset that by having the Raiders pick 3 times in the first round. So,
well, you know.
Well, I mean, and there's something too. I was thinking about this. You know, we used to look at some of these picks through the years. We evaluate players and what can they be, who can they be, and here's a guy. So the Raiders just drafted a safety. I'm trying to grab his name again. It was Jonathan Abram. And they grab a safety, and there was a guy we really liked several years ago that went, you know, real early too, like 14, 15 to them, Carl Joseph. And it's like, well, now they have a bunch of safeties. So what's going to end up happening to this guy? I have no idea. And that's just something that's, you know, starting to, I'm going through the Twitters and everybody's starting to speculate on this since it was one of the later picks of the day. And we saw John Gruden do his John Gruden things, but then the Ravens go and, you know, this is basically only two wide receivers. The other one, N'Keal Harry, goes to the Patriots with the last pick, but Hollywood, Marquise Brown, Colin God, they move back, they get more picks. Thanks for nothing, Eagles. And but the Eagles had to jump ahead in order to get the guy that they wanted, a tackle, and that may have led into the Texans' decision. They may have panicked that they had a need and went for, you know, Titus Howard there. But who's to say? You know, you never know what these guys, how these guys are going to turn out. I mean, yeah. Can anyone tell you where Jerry Rice went to school? I mean, it's like small college. It doesn't really matter. Once you're in the NFL, you're in the NFL, and everything's a level playing field for the most part. So, you know, I look at this. I see all the wide I see the Ravens grabbing a wide receiver. I see a guy that's very small but very fast. Some people had him top on their board. Some people had him further down. So that'll be interesting, and it's another thing the Steelers have to think about. That's why I still feel maybe corner. You know, you got to look at the Browns. You got to look at the Bengals, and now the Ravens are starting to add maybe some receivers, and they have some tight ends and stuff there. I think they have, Steelers have the ability to cover tight ends now. I think they have the linebackers and the safeties and those type of players necessary. Even from a cornerback standpoint, they could draft someone. You know, Joe Hayden's not getting any younger. Steven Nelson's young enough. You got to hope that the contract he signed is going to play out, and he's going to play up to that expectation. If he does, all is well. If he doesn't, Cam Sutton, Artie Burns is going to get one more shot in camp to prove that he could be something based on his first-round pedigree. But that doesn't mean the Steelers aren't going to look elsewhere, and I think they should. We've mentioned it before. We've mentioned other teams such as the Ravens who've done this. They did this with Marlon Humphrey. Now they have Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, and Brandon Carr. They're absolutely loaded at corner, and that would be a good problem for the Steelers to have because they've never had that problem ever. So I think corner is still one of my top ones. I think I could get by with wide receiver. But I think they still add a wide receiver. I think they add a tight end and a running back at some point.
Yeah, I if I had to focus someplace tomorrow, it would be on trying to get a corner. Whether that corner is, you know, Justin Lane, whether it's Greedy, whether it's the guy from Penn State whose name I can't pronounce, whether it's Murphy. You know, whoever it is, I think they need to get a corner. And this is an actually a really good position for them to be in with a corner, in that they didn't have to unload first round capital on them, and they can sit. You don't necessarily need this guy to come in and be a starter. They can sit and learn for a little bit, which is ideal, especially for somebody like Greedy who might have all the skills but doesn't necessarily always put it all together. You know, or even the kid from Temple, who Rocky Sin, who they think, you know, has only got 1 year of experience.
Yeah.
Now it gives them a chance to groom these guys. If that doesn't work, then I think I want them to focus on edge, somehow, if possible. I'd like to see them stay on defense and move up into the second round again tomorrow to try and do it. And then I want them to pick a wide receiver. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they have to get a tight end at some point. They probably will get a running back, and then when they get down to 6 and 7 rounds, they'll get some guys.
yeah, they're adding. It's like, hey, who do you like, Danny Smith? We'll give you a pick this year. So, Amani Oruwariye. That's the Penn State corner. I like him too, and he's got some length to him. So, that's a guy. He's projected to be a third rounder. We're going to see. I mean, our wish list necessarily, like a Greedy Williams or Chase Winovich, may not happen in the third round. So we'll see how this is going to work out. We're going to be sitting on our duff a little bit waiting for a pick, because we got to suffer through the whole second round unless the Steelers make a move. And then we will be back on the airwaves again late tomorrow night or into early Saturday morning with a little bit of analysis on whatever moves the Steelers end up making. So, Brian, thanks for being half awake with me, you know, early in the morning here, and, you know, getting this over to our Steelers Nation that's listening and excited about Devin Bush, to be quite honest. I'm right with them.
Absolutely. And hopefully we will be as excited tomorrow as we are today.
Hopefully. You just never know. And then, again, there may be a pick that makes you really scratch your head. I hope there isn't anything like that. I will, you know, protect the guilty when it comes to some of those picks. And we'll see what's going on. Look forward to your comments, folks, as always. Until next time, my name's Joe. His name's Brian. Be safe. We encourage everyone to be safe, be good, and we will definitely catch you sooner than later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.